I want you to know that your investment of $1,000 is not $1,000. That is $1,200 Canadian. You got 20% on your return. The U.S. dollar right now is a little bit stronger than ours. Our government tries to keep our dollar a little bit weaker. We'd like to stay about 75% of the U.S. dollar. That way you buy more products from our country. And we're very thankful for that. $1.6 billion a day are done in trade between Canada and the United States. You like to buy our lumber. You like to buy our oil. And you like to buy some of our other natural resources. So we love you for that. I appreciate that. And our church loves you and thanks you for your gift of bearing precious seed Canada. I have a 500,000 John and Romans right now that are ready to be mailed out. I need $100,000. This is church number one of 100 that I'm going to try and reach in the next little bit to help do that. And praise the Lord for that. The other thing I want to let you know, Pastor, we talked a little bit about this when you were up with me. I started taking trips to Israel about 5-6 years ago. And I would like to encourage you. Did you tell me?
28 to 30 people leaving in about,
do you? Oh, good. Good, good. So you're going. Oh, good, good. I just, if you don't, if you've never gone, you need to go. Thanks for the check. God bless you. That's good. No, I just want to encourage you. If you've never gone, you need to go. And if you're not going on this one, go on one sometime. It is a valuable tool. Your Christianity will never be the same. Young people, you need to go. You need to go. Save the money. Save your birthday money. Beg your parents. Ask your grandparents. Rob a bank. Do something. But go. You'll enjoy it. All right. Good. All right. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Well, this is our last time together. I hope it's not our last time forever, but it'll be for this time. I do want to encourage you to come and visit us in Canada. We're not very far away. The drive from here to my home is 10 hours, which isn't all that much. You'll need a passport to not necessarily get into Canada, but get back into the United States. We'd love to have you come. We have some beautiful facilities there that we would love to offer to you to come and see and stay at our Bearing Precious Seed facility. And we'd like to look after you. We'll take you to Swiss Chalet for lunch, and we'll go to Tim Hortons for coffee before. And I'll take you to a hockey game. And if you come at the right time of the year, you'll get to see me play, which is really quite a treat. I'm not a bad player, but the walker keeps getting in the way. I keep tripping over that thing. So I have a good time. And we'd enjoy for you to come anytime and be a part of the Bible Baptist Church. It really is very similar to this church. I think you'd feel very at home there. And we have some great folks. I'd love for you to meet them sometime. Well, I want to give you this last message and encourage you this morning with this thought, the go-between ghost. The go-between ghost. I love to sleep in the winter with the windows wide open. Now, in our part of the country, it can get as cold as minus 20 degrees in the winter time. It can get cold. It doesn't get that cold all the time. I preach in a place called Winnipeg, Manitoba. Some of you know of it. Some of you may have relatives or friends there. There are about 30,000 Filipinos in Winnipeg, Manitoba, which is often the coldest place, not in Canada, but on the planet. They have those northern regions, streamers come down, those Alberta clippers come down. And I've preached a winter retreat out there for the last 10 or 15 years, and it averages minus 50 degrees. That's cold. You say, well, that's in Celsius. No, minus 50 is minus 50 Fahrenheit, Celsius, or Kelvin degrees. It is cold. You can take a cup of warm water and throw it up in the air, and it instantly turns to snow. It crystallizes and turns to snow. It's an amazing thing. I don't necessarily sleep with the window open out there, but where we're at, I like to sleep with the window open. I mean, it's those cold winter nights. The snow's crunching beneath your feet, but on one condition, I have to have a great big comforter on the bed. You know, those grandma comforters. I think we all have one of those somewhere. We know our grandmas used to, the lost kind of a lost art of quilting. And they'd make those big comforters, those patchwork quilts or whatever. And you get that. And that cold night, and your nose is cold. And you get into bed, and you're a little cold getting into bed. And you get under the comforter, and you pull it up tight. And just your head sticks out. And then after a while, it's so cold, you pull it up over your head for a little bit. Then you pull your head back out. And then you get too warm, and you put one foot out. Because you can't put both feet out. You'll get too cold. One of those kind of winter days. You see your breath freezing on the outside, and yet you're comfy cozy on the inside. That's a great comforter when you can do that. When you know it's so cold that if you were from beneath it, you'd be freezing, but yet under it, you're so warm and comfortable. But there's a better one than that. Similar, but yet much different. We read about it in John chapter 14 and verse 26. It says, but the what? Let's say it together. But the Comforter, which is who? The Holy Ghost. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. A lot of things that the disciples forgot in their travels with Christ. After he died on the cross and was resurrected, they many times would say, oh, remember when he said to us? They didn't remember right at the time, but they remembered later. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you. Isn't it hard when a friend leaves? It's going to be hard to leave here this afternoon. I've made some great friends. Your young people have been awesome to me. Hannah and I have become very good friends very quickly. I'm going to miss you, Hannah. I'll think about you when I go back to Canada. And she told me she'd continue to pray for Canada. She's part Canadian, you know. She's got Canadian blood in her. That's why she's good look. That's why she's so good looking. It's going to be hard to go because I've made a friendship. My longtime friends, it's going to be hard to say goodbye and go back to a place where we won't see each other right away. Jesus came and with the disciples had that 3-year ministry, 3.5 years, and boy, they became close. I don't know if many people think about this. I'm kind of weird sometimes, but when I think of Jesus and the disciples, I don't necessarily think about them feeding the 5,000 or you know, walking and some of the things they did, the woman at the well. I think about Jesus and the disciples sitting around at night. Jesus was human, yet he was God. And so they're sitting around the fire at night, and you got 12 guys, and their families were probably traveling with them many times as they traveled in the region. They'd take their wife and kids, and they'd be in their tents or whatever, and the guys would sit around at night around the fire. And if you've ever done any camping, I'm not a big camper. My idea of roughing is taking the gravel road to the Holiday Inn. But this body was built for comfort. And so they're sitting around the campfire at night, and I've gone out in the wilderness of Canada and fished and different things like that. And they're sitting around, and they start kidding around. And they start laughing and telling stories. Hey, did you see Judas trip on that rock over there? Woohoo, man, that's nothing. John fell down the hill. And the children maybe run in and everything. And Jesus is sitting there with them. And he's talking and laughing, and they're discussing things. And then maybe he'd get a little more serious, and he'd start talking about the Word of God. And he started to interject some of the principles and teachings and commandments that he wanted to give to them. But they were time there together. And he would say to them, fellas, I'm going to leave you. I want to prepare you for that. I'm going to go away. If you have little children and you've ever gone a trip away from your kids, it's hard the first time you go. As they get older and less disciplined, it's a lot easier to leave them behind. You want to leave them. Grandpa and Grandma, would you like to watch them? But that first time, the first time my daughter left, my oldest daughter Kayla, when she left for college, I don't know what it was, but man, that really hit me. I had a hard time with that. My family said, Dad, you were so grouchy and you were so emotional. And I don't know what it was. It was a mark of life. My little girl was leaving and I wouldn't be there to protect her. And when she pulled out of the driveway, my wife took her to college. When she pulled out of the driveway, I hugged her and kissed her, and I went in the house, and I bawled my eyes out. I cried for a long time. And I'd shake it off and say, this is ridiculous. She's going to be home at Christmas, and it's just a short time, and it's going to be okay. And I thought, she's gone. I'd start again. Even though I was prepared, it's so hard. Jesus said, fellas, I'm going to leave you. But I want to tell you something. A Comforter is going to come. Now, isn't it funny that Jesus chose that name, that title for the Comforter, that for the Holy Spirit? He could have said, the Joy Bringer is going to come. He could have said, the Peacemaker is going to come. He knew what they needed after he left. The Comforter is going to come. You're going to need some comfort. Your world's going to be rocked. You're going to be lost for a little bit. You're not going to know what to do. And the Comforter will come. Isn't it awesome when Grandma comes to visit? We have some grandmas in the auditorium. Isn't it awesome, kids, when Grandma comes to visit? Moms are good. Moms are great. We love our moms. But grandmas are just a little more puffy. They're better to squeeze. They're just more love there. I don't know what it is. And here's the great thing about grandparents. They can spoil you. they get to do what they couldn't do to their kids. The kids had to have rules and regimentation. Grandma, you don't have to do that anymore. Now you just get to give them all the love. And when you get bad, then they give you back to your parents. That's how it works. When grandma comes, especially if you haven't seen her for a while, she comes and she wants to hug on you. She wants to kiss on you. She usually brings a present of some kind. And you just sit with her and you cuddle up next to her. And she just, grandmas have a smell. They have a sweet smell. They have a perfumey smell, kind of a grandma smell. I loved my grandmas. I had two great grandmas. My grandma Stone was a little more staid. She was a little more, she grew up on a farm and lived on a farm, but she was a little more, I would say a little more prim and proper type. And then my grandma Christy, my mom's mom, my grandma Christy, she was the fun one. She was the one that said, come on, kids, you can ride on my back. And she'd ride around on the floor, you know, and we'd ride on her back. And she'd take us to the store. And her husband had abused her in their marriage. And she lived by herself most of her life. And so she poured her whole life into us. And she'd take us to the store. And my dad'd say, no, don't you ask Grandma for anything. Don't you ask her for anything. And we'd go to the store. And she'd say, okay, you guys pick out something you want. And I'd stand there. And she'd say, Alan, you go ahead. Pick out something you want. And I'd say, I can't. And she said, why not? You pick up whatever you want. I said, I'm not allowed to. She said, who told you that? My dad. She said, don't tell him. Just get whatever you want. Okay. I get myself a little toy. Man, I love that comforter. When you're sick, there's nothing better than your mom when you're sick. You don't feel well and you're in bed and she comes in and she takes that. My kids laugh. My mom's solution to every illness was a cold compress on your forehead. If you had pneumonia, she'd go in the bathroom, she'd get a washcloth, she'd get it really cold, she'd bring it in, put it on your forehead. I instantly felt better. If you fell down and broke your leg, you got a cold compress on your head. If you had diphtheria, measles, typhoid fever, compress on the head. It wouldn't kill you, but it just felt good to get that cold compress. When mom would just take and rub your hair and give you a little kiss and say, it'll be all right. You just knew it was going to be all right. The comforter. God said, the comforter will come. Could I say that in this day and age, I don't know if there's another time in our history when we needed more of the comforting of the comforter than we've ever had and needed right now. What a great title, the Comforter. The name literally means the intercessor, the consoler, the advocate. Let's take a look at each of those roles. First of all, the intercessor. You and your girl or boyfriend or siblings or parents have a big fight. Nobody's speaking. People are very angry. Someone's going to run away. And someone steps in and says, I'll talk to both of you. And try to mend this problem. That is the intercessor. That's the go-between. That's the person that helps us when we can't resolve our differences alone. God loves us and we sin, bringing a division between us. And the Holy Ghost intercedes at salvation. God said, I can't fellowship with you because of your sin. And we say we don't fellowship with God because we enjoy our sin. And the Holy Spirit, when we come to that realization that we really do want to have that relationship, becomes that go-between, and God brings His part of salvation, and we come to receive, and the Holy Spirit joins that together and brings intercession for us. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Our sin breaks the heart of God and brings a wedge between us. Have you asked the Holy Spirit to intercede for you on that matter of salvation? Boys and girls today, look up here for just a minute. Boys and girls, look up here for just a minute. Let me ask you, have you ever asked Jesus to save you and be your Savior? Most of you are old enough to know whether you have or not. That's okay. He's putting a hand up. This guy's like, yeah, I'm on it, man. Good for you. Yeah. If you've never asked Jesus to save you, you should. I was talking to some today and I said, are you saved? Yeah. Baptized? No, I'm not baptized yet. Hey, if you're saved, you ought to get baptized. Yeah, let people know. That intercessor works on our behalf. And boys and girls, the Holy Ghost works for you too. Sometimes when you're alone and afraid and maybe you're going to school and you've got some friends there, you can say, Holy Spirit, would you help me? Holy Spirit of God, would you comfort me? Some of you maybe go to work tomorrow and you've had some disagreements at work, or you've had some hardships with your boss and you really don't look forward to going into work. You can say, Holy Spirit of God, help me. Intercede for me. Go before me. God, soften the heart of my boss. God, help me with those that I oversee. Help them to be understanding that I'm trying to help them. And Father, help me with the right words. He'll intercede for you. The second person we see is the consoler. The consoler. There is no hug like the hug of a man or a mom or a grandma or grandma when you're hurt or sad. Dads, their comfort and their help is pretty much this. When you fall down, especially as a boy, you fall down and get hurt, your dad does not usually run to you and hug on you and kiss you and say, it'll be okay, baby boy. It's okay, baby boy. It'll be all right. He doesn't do that. Your dad says, hey, suck it up, buttercup. That's what he says. Be a man. But dad, it hurts. I don't care. Suck it up. I'm only two. I don't care. Be a man. Yes, sir. Your diaper's drooping. Pull it up. Dads are so compassionate. Dad, I took a shot right in the head. You want me to call the wambulance? That's a dad. I was playing hockey one time as a kid. And I was skating down the boards and the puck went into the boards. And I came in and had my stick down. And I went in to catch the puck. And the boards had a seam in it, and my blade got stuck in the boards, and the butt of my stick went right into my stomach. I mean, went right up off the ground, came slamming down on the ice, and man, I'm laying there writhing in pain. My dad's sitting in the stands. My mom gets up, and she comes over to the boards, and she looks over, and she goes, are you okay? And I'm like, get out of here, Mom, get out of here. Please don't jump over those boards. Oh, man, you didn't want that. You don't want your mom. Some of these guys, football players, big football player, out on the field, and he gets hit. You do not want your mother running out on that field and holding you in her arms. You don't want it at that time. But I'm telling you what, when you're hurting, when you've had a bad day, there's something about mothers. My mom has she's kind of lost, but she had this intuition. She would see me, and I'd have had a terrible day, bad day. And she'd come to see me, and she'd say, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. She goes, no, you're not, you're lying. You had a bad day today, didn't you? What happened? I didn't tell her. I wasn't crying. I mean, I was like, hey, Mom, how are you? How's your day? Oh, I'm good. You're lying. And she's right. She knew. They have this weird radar, mothers do. When they take you and hold you and console you, it's awesome. You ever been consoled by the Holy Spirit? Ever been sold? Ever lost a loved one? And you just don't know what you're going to do? And there's this overwhelming sense that somebody is just holding you? Holy Spirit. You ever have one of those days where you just didn't know what to say? The words don't come out of your mouth. You want to tell God, but your heart's so broken. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the consoler. You have a child in the hospital and you're scared to death that they're not going to make it and you don't know what to do and there's a peace that comes over you? That's the consoler. Do you ever go to a funeral for someone who's saved and loved the Lord and you go and everybody's laughing and carrying on? And you're like, what? That's the consoler. Hey, they're with the Lord. Yeah, we're going to miss it. Our hearts are broken. They're gone from us. But at the same time, we're rejoicing because this is not goodbye. It's, we'll see you later. We'll see you again. That's the consoler. The Holy Ghost is all of those wrapped into one and better than all of them put together. Listen to me now. There will come a day when no one will be able to help the hurt of your heart but the Holy Ghost of God. Young people today, thanks for sitting up here. Keep doing it after I leave. You'll love it, I'm telling you. Isn't it better? There's nothing distracting you. You're not seeing everybody else. It's just me and you. And this is really good. Just me and you. Let me tell you, there's going to come a day. Hannah, one day. There's going to come a day when even this good-looking stud muffin guy next to you is not going to be able to help you. There's going to come a day, Hannah, I hope not, but there's going to come a day when something in your life is going to be really bad and you're going to need the Holy Spirit of God. You'll have great friends and they'll call and they'll put their arms around you and they'll say a lot of nice things, but you're going to need the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the kind of relationship where you recognize that, you may miss it. See, this Holy Ghost, this whole Holy Ghost thing that I'm talking about with you, I really believe, folks, if we as Christians could really grab hold of the idea that the Holy Ghost is real and He works for our benefit and He wants to give us so much more, but we really haven't opened ourselves to it. How many of you today, would you be honest? How many of you today could just use a hug from the Holy Spirit of God? Raise your hand in the air. We need that. Your mom's sick. She couldn't be at church today. You love your mom. You've cared for your mom for a long time. She's a godly lady. And there's something wrong, and the man who has provided that help for her is unable to help. And as a man, sometimes we feel not all we should be. Sometimes you just need a hug from the Holy Spirit of God. He's available. He's the consoler. When you're sad, when you've got that sad face on, He's the consoler. He's not saying, suck it up, buttercup. He's saying, you come here. I understand. The final thing, the Holy Spirit is, He's the advocate. He is the defender. He is the champion. He's the attorney. He's the supporter. Ever just need someone who believes in you, even when you doubt? Whew, man, I've had some times in my life, I've made some steps of faith. I said, Lord, I kind of felt it wasn't as big as Elijah, but I almost felt like Elijah calling down fire from heaven. Oh my goodness, Lord, I'm making this decision and I'm praying it's right. I have a wonderful associate. It's been with me 25 years. And I often joke and say he's my office wife. Because he's just like a wife to me. He supports me in everything I do, but I better make sure that I'm doing it right, and I better make sure it's being done by the Lord. And he says this. I'll say, I said a few years ago, I think we need to buy a piece of property and get ready for the church to be able to expand. 5 acres, $250,000, which was a lot of money for us. That was a number of years back. And he said this, Pastor, I'm 100% behind you as long as you can convince me that it's God telling you we ought to do this. How do you show someone that God is telling you to do that? I said, we're going to watch God open the doors. We're going to pray and watch God open the doors. And door after door after door after door began to open. Miraculous meetings took place. And we saw, but I'll tell you this. In that time, I thought, God, I need you. God, you need to help me. I've gone to the hospital, gone into the room where a little child had been burned severely. And I go in and I want to speak to the parents and I said, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. God, be my advocate. Be my go-between. Ever need just someone to stick up for you? You ever had problems where people just get you down? They've beaten you down. They've mistreated you and you want somebody just to stick up for you and say, hey, you leave them alone. I've tried to do that for some people. I've tried to do that for some kids. After that story I told you with David Helverson, I kind of began to look for people that maybe would need some help and stand up in their place. You're not going to do that to them. I'll see kids maybe picking on another kid and say, hey, you pick on him, you got to pick on me. Those little kids, you know. I'm probably going to get arrested someday, but I'm going to stick up for that kid, that underdog. I'm going to cheer for the kid that's struggling. I was teaching school. And I had a number of kids that weren't very athletic. You get that in school. Had some kids who were more, you know, the little brainiac kids. And they maybe liked other things other than sports. And so they were getting clobbered all the time. We had some guys that were really good athletes and really talented. And man, they'd beat up on those little kids all the time. So I came up with a brand new game, Pastor. It was called soccer boxing. It was awesome. So what I'd do is we would play soccer, indoor soccer, but each kid, if they had something happen to them, if we were running for the ball, give me your name. Yes, sir. Henry. Henry and I are playing, and Henry goes in the corner, and I hit Henry, and he falls down. I would call the penalty. And I'd say, okay, here's the penalty. You've been charged with knocking Henry down. So Henry, you get to inflict the punishment on the person that knocked you down. So if you were right-handed, you get a right-handed boxing glove. The other guy would get the left-handed boxing glove if he was right-handed. So the left-handed guy didn't have much. The right-handed guy had a little more. I said, okay, you can hit him from the neck to the belt. You got to hit in this zone right here. You get one free shot. So the big guys would hit, you know, and of course they didn't have much. And the other little guys, the guys that weren't very athletic, they had that right hand. They could give him a little more, kind of even things out a little bit. One time I had this real athletic jock guy, man, he was good. And man, he's a pastor of a church now. And man, he's like, ha ha ha, this is going to be great. And that little guy caught him off guard and wham, nailed him. Whoa, the guy goes down on the floor. He's rolling around. Again, I'm probably going to prison. But he's rolling around on the ground. And all of those little guys are like, hooray, hooray, hooray. Soccer boxing. I thought this balances it out. Do you ever just need someone who will go to bat for you when you're in trouble? Somebody that will be a defender. Someone who would never leave you no matter how bad it got. Enter the Holy Ghost of God. Every day the devil hurls accusations against you, your character, your Christian walk, and your faith. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall stand, or you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the Holy Spirit is there to represent you. I have a young man in my church who is a great kid, but he's a little timid, a little backward. He had an accident, and it was bad enough that he was going to lose 6 points on his driving record, and he was going to be fined a lot of money. Well, the 6 points added to the 3 points he'd already lost for some bad driving meant that he was not going to have a driver's license for 3 months. So he hired a company in Canada called X-Copper. And they're retired police officers that will go to court for you and represent you and get the charges knocked down. They know how to work the system. I don't know how it all works, but they did that. And I asked Darrell, when do you have to go to court for that? And he said this, I don't have to go to court. They are going to appear for me and they've told me, we will get you off. It's just going to cost you a lot of money. When we get in trouble, we have a Holy Spirit that can say to us, it's all right. The damage is done. You've learned your lesson. And I will get you off. You don't even have to appear. And he goes into the courts of heaven and says, Father, I come to represent Al Stone, who's had an accident of life. He is deeply sorrowed. And he begs your forgiveness. And the supreme judge of this universe hears the plea and marks the sentence. Paid in full. That is the Holy Spirit of God. And He resides within you. When you think you're all alone against the devil and flesh, you have the advocate, the representative, to defend you. Do you have him? Do you know him? Do you call on him? Many today raised their hand and said, I could just use something from the Holy Ghost. I'm going to invite you in a moment to bow your head. And where you sit, I'm going to ask you to speak to that Holy Spirit of God. And tell him what it is that you need. And then I want you to wait and see if you don't sense his presence and his comfort as you share with him the need of your heart.